If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Third hour is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check them out at concreteindustries.com or at NEBCOinc.com. Nebraska plays Northwestern at 11 a.m. on Saturday here in Lincoln. We are now joined by the voice of the Wildcats, Dave Ennett. Yeah. Welcome, Dave.
Good to
we're
have
clapping
you.
It up
yeah,
for,
we're
you,
Dave.
For you, Dave.
Yeah,
good
thank
to have you,
I
Dave.
Appreciate it.
You're
yes. Welcome, you guys.
Glad to have you, Dave. I think I speak on behalf of us and probably all of football fans that nobody saw Northwestern being 5-2 in late October and four straight wins. I'm curious, you as the voice of the Wildcats, are you shocked right now to be 5-2 for the Wildcats?
Well, I would say this. After they lost the opener at Tulane and did not look good doing it, 23-3, I'm not sure I would have expected them to have won five of the next six games. So I think it's a fair statement. I thought this team would be better this year, but as you guys know, being better in the Big Ten as it exists today in 2025 doesn't necessarily guarantee you future results. You know, I mean, it's a tough climb, and I think what this team has done has been very impressive. I mean, I saw signs of it last year, but they weren't consistent on offense. They're a much better offensive team now, and they've continued to improve defensively. So if you look at it through that lens, then I guess I'm not totally surprised to see where they are.
Dave, here's the lens that we have to deal with right here. Nebraska gave up 9 sacks against Minnesota. They gave up 7 against Michigan. They gave up 5 against Michigan State. Hell, they gave up 3 to Cincinnati. If I'm looking through a lens, what am I seeing with Northwestern's pass rush? What's it look like?
Getting better. And I think, you know, it depends on obviously on game situations, and I watched the Minnesota game, and obviously Nebraska lost a couple of guys during the course of that game. But if you look at the game that Northwestern played against Purdue was in a, not that this is that out of character for them, but they were basically in a situation where they had to throw, they had to sit back there, and they had their backup quarterback in because Ryan Brown got knocked out of the game early, and they went with Malachi Singleton virtually the entire game. And he was pretty much having to just sit back there and throw. And so the Northwestern's defensive line just pinned their ears back and went after him.
Okay.
But you have two guys who I think are very good edge rushers in this conference, in Aiden Hubbard and Anto Saka. and throw in a couple other guys like a young guy named Michael Kilbane, who's come on and had a terrific game against Purdue Saturday. They're going to get after him, and this is a very good defensive front. Really, the defense as a whole, and you start to say, well, it's a great front seven Northwestern's got. Their back half isn't bad either. Saturday was the first time that they've allowed a quarterback to throw for 200 yards. That was basically with Purdue playing catch up in the fourth quarter and hitting some big plays. So, that's obviously one of the keys to this game is can Northwestern keep that going against Nebraska this week?
Dave, quick question. You travel, I'm sure you travel with the team in team hotel. Is that correct? When you go on the road. So you're around the team a lot. You see him a lot. You do interviews. You have everything there is. What's the vibe? Is it a pretty happy team? Because when I watch him, highly competitive. They look just like a team that enjoys football. Tell me, but you get to see him in the plane. You get to see him all these different times. What's the vibe of the Northwestern team?
I think it's a very upbeat kind of deal, a very determined kind of team. And look, every team wants that, right? I mean, every coach says we want our guys to be together and everything. But, a lot of these guys went through an awful lot 2 years ago when the coaching change occurred with Pat Fitzgerald dismissed in July, David Braun elevated to head coach. And there was a lot swirling around this team that a lot of these were young guys then that had to go through. They saw the head coach that they had gone there to play for suddenly taken away. They saw a guy that they didn't really know very well. He'd been there in the spring as defensive coordinator, suddenly their head coach. So I think there was a lot there to digest that first year. And yet they were able to turn that into a winning season, got to a bowl game, won a bowl game, took a step back last year. But it's a lot of the same guys. And that's what's interesting. You can have the same players. We've kind of seen that with Penn State, right, guys? I mean, you can have the same players, but every team has a different personality year to year. And I think that this is a very galvanized football team. They lost their top returning rusher and a three-time captain in the second game of the season for the year in running back Cam Porter. And yet he's been around this team constantly as a captain, and they haven't skipped a beat as far as running the football. So, I mean, I think it's the vibe. The long answer to your question is I think it's a very good one.
Dave, Northwestern averages 39.6 carries a game. How much of that personality to which you refer is about running the ball and that commitment?
I think it's a lot of it, a lot of it. I mean, I think, look, this is what a lot of teams around the Big Ten have always strived to do, right? Run the football and play solid defense. And I think early on, especially when the quarterback Preston Stone struggled out of the gate early in the season, they said, okay, well, this is who we're going to be. We're going to be a team that hard-nosed team that runs the football and stops the other team's run and gets after their quarterback. And that's really what they've done. So, I think that this is kind of a throwback. They just honored the 1995 Rose Bowl team this past weekend on the 30th anniversary. And if you guys remember, that was a team that ran the football really well with Darnell Autry and led the nation in scoring defense and I think turnover margin. And this team isn't leading anybody in turnover margin, but they certainly are playing very good defense.
Dave, we're in an era now of NIL where we think schools like Northwestern will just not compete and keep up. But again, David Braun, first year, 8 wins. Last year, a step back. Now they're on pace for a bowl game. How is NIL, in your perspective, at Northwestern, how are they keeping up with other teams in the Big Ten and around college football?
Well, I think that it's an adjustment, right? I mean, I think that everybody's trying to figure that out. And maybe the off the field opportunities are probably different in a market like this in Chicago, where it's not necessarily college football isn't first and foremost on the minds of fans here. And the loyalties are very divided, right? Because you've got Notre Dame 9 minutes away, you got Purdue just about that. You've got Illinois having a really good year, just a couple hours to our south. You got Wisconsin up to the north. And you know what, I think that it's something that in the era of the revenue share, you know, Northwestern's all in. And I think they're going to be okay. And look, the challenges for them right now, they're building a new football stadium at the same time that all this change has occurred in college football. So resources obviously become a little bit stretched, but I think that's true for everybody in college football. I mean, this money's not just sitting around and somebody picks it up off the coffee table and says, okay, let's go get this guy. And, but I think they've adjusted to it. Here's the other thing. Northwestern this year took their deepest plunge into the transfer portal because it's been more of a challenge at schools like Northwestern. Some of the other, Stanford, I think, went through this too. And at Northwestern, where you're on a quarter system, getting transfers in for winter, for spring ball, could be kind of challenging to get them in early. And so now they've moved to a point where they're able to get more of the transfers in, and they invested in that, and they got a bunch of transfers who've made an impact on this team. And I think that, so I think they're in, they're all in, but obviously they're not going to be necessarily at the same.
Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small, independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Place that other schools in the Big Ten are.
Dave, you mentioned the new stadium being built, but on this show we've been enamored numerous times about what the current stadium is you're playing in on the lake. Mm-hmm. It looks remarkable. Tell us what it's like to call a game there and see. I mean, like I said, I've had good friends at Coach Northwestern. They told us sometimes if you punt a ball wrong, it lands in the lake. And it just sounds incredible. And we see it on TV. Just explain what it's like on game day to be there. And what is there, 20,000 fans, or what is the number? Kind of
no,
give us...
less than that.
Really?
Less than that, Coach. Yeah, more like 12,000.
Seats 12. That's here, but
I love it.
Tell us about it.
Well, here was the dilemma they faced. You guys may remember they basically gutted the basketball arena, Welsh Ryan Arena, back in after the 2017 season, and they had to play their games in 2018. Away at the Allstate Arena, which is over near O'Hare, but it's well off campus and it's a bit of a hike, and it hurt them. There's no question. They didn't have the same kind of year. That was a team expected to go back to the NCAA tournament, and they didn't. They struggled, and I think they looked at the football situation. So we don't want to go through that again. What are our options? Where are we going to play football while we're building the new Ryan Field? And so they looked at some other venues around the Chicago area, but none of them really, really met their needs. Now, Wrigley Field, they're still going to play their last two home games this year at Wrigley.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you've heard, but the Cubs are done. So they're gonna play at Wrigley. But in terms of finding a stopgap, they had this nice facility. Just now, no punt got into the lake. I want to clear that
okay,
up.
Well, okay,
that's we were all crossing our fingers. We were gonna see one of those 40-mile-an-hour wind days where the ball would carry out. Never actually happened. But you're really only, I don't know, the width of a football field away from the water, from the visitor sideline, from the east sideline, and it was, from an aesthetic standpoint, it was spectacular. Most days over the last two seasons that there were games there, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. You're looking out onto Lake Michigan. There's sailboats. You can see the skyline of Chicago off in the distance, and it really was a terrific venue. But I think what it did most of all was this is where they practice during the week, and so, and the training facility and the athletic center is right there, so these guys were able to play their games on the same field they practice on. They're familiar with it. Their locker room is right there. Where they get their meals is right there. And so I just think the players liked it from a familiarity and a convenience standpoint. And for the fans, it was just something really special.
Dave Enit joins us. He's the Northwestern play-by-play voice.
Enit.
Sorry about that, David. You have been to Lincoln, I assume, right?
Many times.
Two-part question. What do you like about coming to Lincoln? And what is the path to victory for Northwestern in this game?
Well, I love coming to Lincoln, and let's see, we were out there, I think, the first time in 2011, I believe, or
that's about
probably
right. Yeah,
somewhere around then. And, you know, everything I had heard was, oh, the fans are so friendly and welcoming, and the many times I've been out there since then, both for football and basketball, I've absolutely found that to be the case. We stay in town there, and it's nice. When we first were coming out there, we were way out outside the city, and there wasn't much around us. And now we do stay in town, and so it's a chance. We'll get in there tomorrow. A chance to walk around towns, and you know, there's nice. I've seen some nice restaurants and places to socialize. So I enjoy it. We played a night game there several years ago, and I like to run, and especially when I'm in a town I haven't spent a lot of time in. And I remember taking a long run through campus. And because I haven't been over to the campus very much, it's a really pretty campus. And I really enjoyed just taking a jog around Memorial Stadium, which took me some time, by the way. But you know what? I think that this game, I think Northwestern, look, it's not any kind of a mystery. You know, I'm sure that they looked at what Minnesota did, and they'll try to learn from that a little bit. But basically, they're going to do what they did at Penn State a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Which, you know, they took the crowd out of the game early in State College. They had a punt blocked on the very first possession of the game. And Penn State got the ball at the 31-yard line of Northwestern. And a couple of plays later, they're knocking on the door, and Northwestern picks off a pass in the end zone.
Okay.
Right. And then they go down the other end and get a field goal. So, I mean, that's kind of what they do. They might bend at times. They don't break. They play good special teams, although Nebraska plays excellent special teams, and run the football. And look, I think the one thing is both these teams are very good against the pass. So this will be a team, I think, where we're, you know, both teams are kind of looking to see which defense blinks first.
Yeah, we're surprised, Dave, to see again that Nebraska's an 8.5-point favorite. I don't know what garners that. I mean, they're both 5-2. Nebraska got beat 24-6 by Minnesota. I'm sure that reached the locker room in terms of disrespect for the Wildcats. Do you think that reaches them at all in terms of saying, hey, no one believes in this here at all or not, Dave?
you know, they're used to it. Yeah. They're used to it. Yeah. Where were they picked to finish in the Big Ten this year? Yeah. They're almost, I mean, even against Purdue last week, they were a 3.5-point favorite, I think. And they were 3 touchdown underdogs going into State College. Right. So I don't think, not only does it not bother them, I think, you know, I don't think that it's the kind of thing that motivates them, because I think they're past that. I think they're just kind of immune to it. And I think they're very comfortable with their identity and who they are. And I don't think that's really going to bother them being underdogs going in there.
Dave, I've watched every snap of Northwestern, but obviously I got a chance to watch a good bit of the Purdue game. It seems like Preston Stone, I just described him as scrappy, a competitor. I didn't feel he had big arm strength, like to the field for that. He threw an interception, you know, to the field that was his undercut when it happened, but I didn't feel like he had great arm strength. Like more of his RPO type throws are better, or inside throws are better, but he just seems like a competitive kid that the team rallies around. Tell us about your thoughts of the quarterback.
And he's a smart kid too. I mean, he's played a lot of football. He started 24 games. You know, he played at SMU, and you know, he was a guy, very, very high passing efficiency mark, not many interceptions, which kind of caught everybody by surprise when he threw 4 of them in the opener this year at Tulane.
Right.
But if you look over his last 4 games, this 4-game winning streak, guys, 7 touchdown passes, that 1 interception you referred to last week. He's a guy who I think could have really kind of people were questioning after that Tulane game, and David Braun came out right after that game and said, I've got his back. And what he did after that was basically what he had been doing all throughout his time at Northwestern, all through fall camp. He was chosen a captain his first year with the team. And yeah, I think scrappy is a good way to describe him. He's a guy who has a knack for, he's a smart guy. And I think that if you look overall at his numbers, he's been very efficient and consistent. And that's something that Northwestern, probably a reason they struggled last year, where they didn't have that consistency at the quarterback position. And now they do with Stone.
Dave, appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on today, and enjoy your trip
to
Lincoln.
This was awesome.
And we will hopefully chat with you down the road.
Anytime, guys. Happy to be with you.
Awesome. Great job.
Dave, and the voice of the Wildcats in Northwestern.
Good stuff. That was great information.
Dave. What a pro.
Yeah.
What a pro.
Prepared. Had his statements perfect. Yeah, that was.
They have a good play-by-play guy, you can tell.
I really enjoy the part. He goes, no, they could care less if they're 8.5. There's not anything up in the locker room, and there were three touchdown underdogs to Penn State. No, we're past that. Yeah,
that's good.
That is good, like that. But I was wondering what the vibe was.
Yeah,
and I kind of sensed that.
That was interesting.
I did sense, and that's the one thing that probably one of the most concerning things that stands out is just the vibe of that team.
100%.
The team's coming in there. They're not in the crosshairs. They're not hoping for something good to happen. If Nebraska got up 10-0, they're not going to bail. They're not going to bail out.
No, that's concerning.
Yeah.
If you're Nebraska, the vibe.
And they won at Penn State.
Yeah.
They're not scared of Nebraska.
No, they've
won here in Lincoln several times.
The other thing he said the thing holds 12, the stadium. And I watched the Purdue game. It wasn't full.
There wasn't
12,000 fans there. And so imagine playing there. So when they come to Nebraska, this is cool to them.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's like, hold it. There's going to be 90,000 people there. This is awesome.
Fun.
We're going to go play. Yeah, you're fired up about this setup.
Wow.
Thanks again to Dave and of Northwestern. It's time for Tech Time with Trip from Computer Hardware.
Trip.
Next on Early Break on The Ticket.